Jerry Donahue and myself have been spending some time together earlier today. Jerry is here, of course, as part of, well, a team of people in the studio here who bring with them just a wealth. It's like guns for hire. We have the top men in the studio, because from left to right, we have Rick Kemp on bass and vocals, we have Ray Jackson on mandolin and harp, we have Doug Mortar on guitar and vocal, and the aforementioned Jerry Donahue here on guitar. And it's so good to see you all in the studio with us tonight as the gathering of. Just before even you play the first song, just describe to us how you all got together in this sort of configuration that you have.
It came to be, actually, it was an idea of sort of partly myself, but Peter Barton actually took it to a larger degree. I wanted to do a tour last summer, or, you know, just a few dates. My daughter was coming over, and she was a two-time guest at Cropperty, as, you know, singing Sandy Denny songs 2 years running, and there have been a lot of people asking about her and when is she coming back and all that, and I thought it might give the band a bit of a lift and a bit more commercial appeal potential if she were to join us, you know, featuring Christina Donahue. And Pete liked that idea, and he remembered that I'd worked with Rick before and with Doug, and he thought, you know, to carry that sort of folk rock image further, you know, what about getting some of the other guys, get everybody who plays, have come from that sort of, that era, you know. So Rick, you know, of course, was, you know, known for playing in Steel Ice Band, and still does. Ray Jackson, of course, for Lindisfarne, and Doug played with the Albion Band and Magna Carta, and just seemed to be, put it together and, you know, see what happens. But it seemed so good. Of course, you never know how that's going to work out till you all get together, but it worked out so beautifully, and we just, you know, all just continue to enjoy it so much. It just seems to get better all the time.
We mustn't forget Clive
and Clive, yes. Bunker, of course. Clive Bunker. He's not with us, so yeah, Clive Bunker from Jethro Tull, because he and I had worked together pretty recently, as I have with Doug, and yep. You know, at some point. So it just seemed to make perfect sense. So.
And what was it Huey Green used to say? Well, we want to hear you. So what's the first song going to be?
Okay. It's just about getting old, basically, and kind of about missing the kind of music that you like to hear on the radio. And thanks, Bob, for doing it for us. It's called Don't Make Me Old Before My Time.
Fingers still click. I can dance all night long, and I can drink till I'm a sick. I can do all these things, and I can, girls ain't a crime. Don't make me old before my time. No, no,
don't make me old.
Don't make me old before my
don't
time.
Don't make me old.
Well, I went to my doctor just the other day. He said, consider your age, you ain't in a bad way. Take it easy and you'll get along fine. I say, don't make me old before my time. Well, I can dance and strut, I can boogaloo. Hip-hop is fine and I can rave on too. Don't you be thinking granddad's out of his mind. Don't make me old before my time. No, no,
don't make me old.
Don't
make me old.
About 25. She said, hey, baby, Doug, you're looking for life. Come to my room and bring that bottle of wine. I said, you'll make me old before my time. Well, in days gone by, would have jumped at the chance. A night with a girl has a different kind of dance. Trouble with my age is that you end up alive. Don't make me old before my time. And no, no.
Don't make me old.
Don't make me old.
make me old. Don't make me old.
Well, now I met this girl about 25. She said, hey, big dad, you're looking for life. Come to my room and bring that bottle of wine. I said, you'll make me old before my time. Well, in days gone by, would have jumped at the chance. A night with a girl is a different kind of dance. Trouble with my age is that you end up a line. Don't make me old before my time. Well, I can dance and strut and I can boogaloo. I can hippie hippie shake and do the birdie song too. Don't you be thinking granddad's out of his mind. Don't make me old before my time. No, no. Don't make me old. Don't make me old before my
don't
time.
Don't make me old.
Don't make me old before my
don't
time.
Make me old.
No, 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 no.
Don't make me old.
The combined talents of the gathering of, with us in the studio here on Radio 2 on the Bob Harris Show. And, you know, you and I were talking, Jerry, about the work that you've done through the years and the number of bands and associations that you've worked with. Because the first time your name came into my consciousness was with Fotheringay, right, in the early 70s.
That's right. Yeah.
And your work subsequently on Sandy's solo albums. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, you've rolled through the years. Just sort of give us a roll call of some of the Jerry Donahue highlights.
Oh my goodness. Well, from Fotheringay, then, you know, it was like Fairport after a brief spell in between where I was in France with Johnny Hallyday. And, yeah, Fairport for 4 years. And then after that, Joan Armour Trading, Warren Zevon, having worked with people like Jerry Rafferty in the studio, did four albums with him, did an album with Chris Rea later on, and into the 80s. Moved to the States, did a few projects there, got to play with Roy Orbison, yeah, which was really nice. And
Tell us about Roy.
Oh, he was a wonderful guy. My mother first told me that. She's an actress, was an actress, she's retired now. But she did a film with him, and when we worked together, we had some time in the afternoon to chat, which was really nice, because we did a sound check. He was in L.A., and most of the band, you know, went back to their homes, because we had a lot of time. It was a big variety show, so lots of people sound checking. And he didn't fancy going back to the hotel, and I was there to sort of stay and tune guitars and mandolins and things like that. And we just got to talking. We were there for about 3 hours together, and I just reminded him about my mother having worked with him in a Western. And I said, I'm trying to remember the name of it. And he told me, he said, it's the fastest guitar alive.
Wow.
And she had a really good feature at the end of that, and I just remember her coming home and saying what a wonderful person he was.
Absolutely.
And
everybody says that.
And I got to find that out for myself,
yeah,
too. That was,
yeah,
really, really nice. And a great pleasure being able to play with him, having played those numbers for so long, in so many numbers, you know, doing it. And looking up this time and seeing the man himself.
The man himself.
You know, it's absolutely fantastic. You know?
Oh, it's, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Can I ask you the same question, Doug, you know, to roll through the...
It started many, many, many moons ago with a group called Hunter Musket that was... did okay around, and then I left that, and the first time I met you, Bob, actually was when I was working with Richard Digents. We did a Sight and Sound thing at one time, and I was a few years with Richard, and from Richard into Maddie Pryor band through my association with Rick, because Rick produced the first Digents album that I played on. And then through Maddie, I met Ashley Hutchins from the Albion Band, and
it's amazing.
And so it goes on.
Because this is such a fantastic community, isn't it?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, you mentioned Ashley,
yeah,
there, and his achievements through the years are just stunning, absolutely stunning.
Incredible, yeah. And that's why he's the governor, you know, that's,
yeah,
it, you know. It's a correct album title, you know, and a great person to work with, and... he introduced me to the theatre, which was great. And I had a great time at the National Theatre doing the Lark Rise and the Carnival stuff, which was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. Meeting those actors, Bill Owen, Peggy Mount, all these great names, you know, that unfortunately no longer with us. But
takes you across into another world, though, doesn't
it? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But still playing the same Albion music, which was great, you know. And then I jumped ship and went to Magna Carta, and totally different thing again. But very much, they were very much working abroad then, you know, so I kind of left English shores for a while. And then I ended up producing an album for Cathy Le Cerf, who was the singer with the Albion Band. Jerry and I got together on that record. We made a record together, then we started working together in the Backroom Boys, and so on.
And here we are.
And with Rick as well, and Rick was on that record too. So
yeah, yeah. We'll talk a little more in a moment, but we'd love to hear another song. Set this one up for us.
This is called Fire in the Line, and it's it was a duet with Maddie originally, and I wrote it when everybody was panicking about the things that were supposed to going to happen at the turn of the century. And I wrote it on a train from Carlisle to King's Cross, and my feet were in exactly the same position at King's Cross as they were at Carlisle. So I wrote it in my head. This is Fire on the Line.
Okay.
Slow this old engine down, and they say we're running out of time. Will we be too late to celebrate when the curtain of the century comes down? Or will we drive through the ashes of the fire unafraid, or die right here in this desert that we made? Now this stormy water's off of me, silver linings vanish in thin air, and they sail me up ahead of sea, and the Coast Guard cursed has another flare burst, but just the keel of his life boat lay. There's double trouble in the sky, silver linings vanishing thin air, and they say we're all gonna fry when the harmful rays of that sun we praise cast a shadow on our children's life. Will we burn to a cinder in the sun's sweet kiss, seeing another sunrise through a cool morning? Going to slow this old engine down, and they say we're running out of time. Will we be too late to celebrate when the curtain of the century comes down? Or will we drive through the ashes of the fire unafraid, or die right here in this desert that we
the music of the gathering of here on Radio 2. And I was just thinking, Rick, Rick Kempf on bass and vocals for us tonight. And how many years is it now with Steel Ice Van?
It's 40 next year.
Is it really?
Yeah, we're doing three tours next year, apparently, it says here. I don't know where they're going to be. You can't fit three tours into England. But, yes, 40 years next year. But I had 15 years off for good behaviour.
Yes, that's right. But, I mean, you span from the time that's regarded, you know, the mid-60s. Everybody talks about that as being kind of the golden age of English and British folk music. But to my mind, we're back in a renaissance. We're back in a time where English acoustic music, British acoustic music, is as healthy and as vibrant as at any time since then.
Very much so. Very much so. And it's largely down to the next generation coming up. There are some fantastic singers and players and writers. And really, that's all you can ask for, isn't it? And there's a great spirit about it again. And I agree, it's another golden age coming up. In fact, we're in it.
Yes, we are. So when you say a great spirit, where's this coming from, do you think?
I think a lot of it's family. It's like a family. It's always been like a family. And I remember early days, it was sometimes a bit of a bickering family. But I think now that seems to have changed. Everybody's seems to have a great admiration for those people that went before, as it were. Mm. They're still being employed, and people are still pleased to see them. As somebody said, Steel Eye's become source material, really, now.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I think also, do you think it's at all to do with the fact that there is so much production on a lot of mainstream stuff these days, and there's quite a lot of artificiality with voice correction and all of that, that there's a reality about this kind of music? You can't deny that.
Yes. What I like about the whole thing is that whilst that same bunch of songs kicks around and gets reinterpreted year in, year out, to good effect mostly, I don't think many people do duff versions anymore, there's a huge movement with the writing to create the next lot. And I think the artificiality, we're all guilty of that, actually, aren't we? I mean, we all do move notes on Cubase or whatever we're using at the time, or on Radar or whatever. We're all guilty of that because it's there and it's available. So I think the mainstream has crept into the kind of the roots music, and the roots music's crept into the mainstream.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be, I suppose.
And this is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, Ray, you and I have bumped into each other at studios and Quaysides and heaven knows where over the years. In fact, the very first thing on the very first Whistle Test DVD, of course, is Lindisfarne.
It's a big shock, isn't it?
Doing Fog on the Tyne.
When you see yourself 35 or 36 years ago, whatever it was.
We were fashion icons, don't
we? Oh, yeah, of course we were, yes. And, you know, the fashion's changed, the wing collars, and they all disappeared, and, you know, the beard got shorter and all of that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, we were there at a very sort of strange time, really. I think between the Beatles and what came next was a sort of a, I don't know, I wouldn't say it was a follow period, but it everyone was struggling to find a new direction. And, you know, you got bands like Yes coming up, and, you know, Lindisfarne, and, you know, Steel Eye, and Fairport. We were all sort of finding new things to play and new directions to go in because of what had gone before.
Yeah. David Bowie, of course, Mark Bolan, T-Rex.
I mean, right.
The early 70s, a lot of people now look back on it as being an absolutely fantastic time because it was such a melting pot. In many ways, wasn't it? Of lots of different styles and some really, really great records. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, I totally agree. I think some of the best bands, some of the best periods have been around in the music business were probably the late 60s to middle 70s. Mm. I think that was very, very creative. When, of course, the single didn't really matter anymore. Albums have been recorded and you didn't have to have a single from the album either.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, Lindisfarne saw this right through, didn't you?
That's right, because I mean, when I actually remember you played our very first single on Sound of the 70s in about 1970, I think it was, actually.
Well, I'd seen you play. I think it was in Ealing. I'm not quite sure where it
could
was.
Have been.
It was. I remember going down into a basement and Alan was singing as I arrived, and I think you did Lady Eleanor within a number of two of getting there, and I just thought, I couldn't wait to get that track on the radio and played it immediately.
Well, you played Clear White Light, first of all.
Yes,
which,
I think I did.
Which didn't make the charts. And then Lady Eleanor, which didn't make the charts, from the first album, Nice Out of Tune. And then we had another crack at it with the Fog in the Town album when Rod produced Meet Me on the Corner, which was the one that caught everybody's attention. And from then on, Lady Eleanor became a hit on top of that, and then we had a bit of success in the States.
Mm. Yeah, and of course Alan's solo albums as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
Still love Pipe Dream.
Pipe Dream's one
still
of my favourites.
Still think it's a beautiful album. Yeah. We must hear a final song.
Okay.
What's it going to be?
We're gonna do a Lindisfarne song this time.
Oh, okay, good one.
And we just spoke about it, and it's one written by Rod from the band. It's called Meet Me on a Corner.
Okay. Still brings such a warm glow with it, that song. There's no doubt about it. Meet Me on the Corner. This is The Gathering Of here with us in the studio on Radio 2. Where can people see you over the next few months? Are there gigs coming up? I know you completed a tour fairly recently, but are there more gigs on the way?
Yeah, we actually just did some, but only up in the north. We did a sort of a pub warm-up gig at the Aspinall Arms that ended up being a proper gig. We thought there'd be maybe five people in there, but the place was absolutely jammed. There must have been 200 people in there. It was really a great gig. Great, you know, just a great night. And then we went to Blakeney and played, what was it, a social club there, was it? This was just a couple, sort of like a one-off that ended up being two dates. We're basically not going to play probably in the UK again until the end of the year, probably October, November. And we'll do another, you know, long one then, probably.
Right,
but
right.
We are doing Cropperty.
We are say, doing Cropperty, yeah. Cropperty, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right, that's true. Forgot about that.
Yes.
Mustn't forget Cropperty.
Okay, well, the programme for the dates that you've been doing has in it a sample CD, as it's described, and there are three tracks on that, and I'd like to sort of round off with one of them. What would you like me to play?
I can't even remember what's on them.
There's Fire on the Line, which is Rick's song.
Which we did just now.
This has got to end. And False Hands across the table, which is your
song. I think False Hands would
be
nice.
How about False Hands?
Yeah, that's good. I'll dial that up and we'll round off with that. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to all of you. More power to you is all I can say.
Thanks
so much for being here tonight. And this is False Hands.